So refreshing to hear that God's still using people, even people that don't think that they're usable for what God wants to do. It's amazing how he knows how to work with us. I don't know, it always amazes me. I think about myself, I think about today's my birthday, and I remember just, I was just thinking as you guys were so kindly singing for the second time. I've been here since 9 o'clock, so double whammy. Maybe I was in my late teens. I remember being a part of the church. Pastor Don Richter, who was here last week and shared the word with us, our mentor, as we were younger in the faith. Every Sunday, it was a smaller church at that time, and there was a thing where if it was your birthday, at the end of the service, everybody was going to sing. And so it would be get them up front, and they were going to sing. So I knew it was my birthday, and I remember being in there was the back of the building, and that was behind the building. And I remember, like, two different people coming around the opposite corners of the back of the building at the same time, because I was hiding. I was in the back. As soon as, like, it got towards the end, the bathroom break, and then I went all the way around to the back of the building. So I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be in front of somebody and watch my face turn, you know, just feel, you know, that feeling in your face is so red, like, it's going to, like, pop. It's, like, hot. You don't want to touch it. It feels so hot. That's how I would get as soon as I was in front of people, but I'm not blushing now. I guess I'm doing good today, but still reminds me. As soon as people start singing, it reminds me, and so he said, we're not closing this. They said, Pastor Don needs you inside. We're not going to close. He says, we're not ending the service until we have Josh Ortman to sing to. And I remember just feeling the blood drain out of my whole body. Because now, though, everybody's waiting. So I made a bad thing worse by trying to hide. And then I remember just being brought out through the side door. And it was clever. They sent a couple of girls to come and get me about my age. So it was a good plan. My wife's downstairs, and she wasn't one of them. So I'm safe saying that, and she's doing the kids' worship right now. But so they got me in there, and everybody's singing. I just, you know, I lived with the terror of what it would be like to have the attention of people, to have people notice me, and I just wanted to be invisible. I didn't want to do anything different that people would look at that guy, and then all of a sudden I would just turn beet red. I couldn't do oral book reports in high school, and I would take bad grades on stuff even in college because I just couldn't stand up and just be in front of anybody. It was just too much. I would just choke up, and I couldn't even speak, could barely breathe. And I just thank God that when he gives us a message, when he gives us a purpose, when you realize that God wants you to adopt a baby with special needs, and then you go through a five-year process to see that come to pass, and you just endure through that whole process, you realize that God, he'll use anyone that's willing. He'll use anyone that says yes. He'll use anybody, and he'll be the strength to get you through the process that we're all pretty convinced that we can't possibly do. I remember being told as a very young person that, you know, you're called to be a pastor, and you're called to this and to that, and you name like Joshua, you're a leader. I thought, good luck finding me for that job. And tried to hide as best I could. But, you know, when you aren't in the purpose that God has for your life, you're not fulfilled. You're just not fulfilled. I don't know how else to say it. You're not fulfilled. We live in a culture that's unfulfilled. Many have gotten the degrees. They've gotten the letters in front of their name. They've gotten the decimals after their period on the comma on their paycheck. But they still are unfulfilled. They got money in the bank, or they don't have money in the bank. They're trying to get money in the bank. Whatever they're doing, they're unfulfilled. They're unfulfilled human beings living on planet Earth in one of the most amazing times this planet has ever seen. The access that we have to information, the access that we have to be able to impact hundreds of people, just one person on fire for God, one person sold out for the purposes of Christ, can impact hundreds just within social media, just within the friends that know you because of social media. The ability to impact our culture with the truth, with love, with the light of Jesus Christ has never been higher. It's never been more potential. And yet, I wonder if there's just ever been so many unfulfilled people because they're not tapping into that potential. They can't see it. They can't see themselves being used. They don't recognize that they have value, that they have purpose, that God could use them. And I would just say, you know, as we go through this month in terms of adoption with the Thanksgiving, everything that we're doing a lot of outward stuff because we believe that God has us here for a reason. If it was just better that we weren't here, we wouldn't be here. God's not trying to draw this thing out longer than needs be. He says that he's just, this delay is happening because there's a desire in his heart that none would perish, but that everyone would come to know. He's a loving Father. He has a purpose and a plan. If you're an accident, then you've just bought, if you believe in your mind you're an accident, you've just bought into the vibe of this culture that we're all just so much of an accident, some more impressive than others, but if we all just came from an accidental origin, you know, from goo to you by way of the zoo, that's what people have been taught in kindergarten. And so what's the point, really? Do what feels good. Do what pleases you. Do what makes you feel good. And guess what? It doesn't fulfill you, though. It doesn't fulfill you. It leaves you empty. It leaves you feeling used. It leaves you feeling abused, hungover, beat down, depressed. All the stuff that people are dealing with is because they thought there was something they were going to find outside of the fulfillment of the purpose God had placed on their life. And you can't find it. I tried. I know dozens of people personally who have tried. I know their stories. We've gone through it back and forth. And it doesn't matter what you tried or how long you tried it for. You were unfulfilled until you discovered that you were loved by the Father, the spiritual dad that you were birthed again from when you were born of an incorruptible seed. And I recognize there's many people here, you have no idea what I'm talking about. This whole idea of being born again in spirit, it's all something that's ethereal. It's not substantial. It's not something you put in a box and take home with you. And so you struggle with it. I get that. I was a scientist. I studied biology at a state university. So I got the full package of what they can, and very persuasive. And I bought some of the, and I was behind some of the smoke and mirrors and stuff, and bought some of the stuff that's not built on anything but just sand. And then you realize, why am I so unfulfilled? If I've just discovered the way this all happened and how I got here, why does it leave me feeling so hollow inside? What am I missing? What purpose was put in my heart that only my Father in heaven knows about? And as you begin to follow that and you begin to obey and you begin to surrender your life to what He wants from your life, you'll wait 5 years and you'll keep your joy just to be able to adopt someone that's completely unloved and unwanted and been rejected by society. And you'll fight for her, and you'll invest over tens of thousands of dollars to get her. And the story of the Cosgroves, there's so much that they can't tell you in 5 to 7 minutes, but I've just watched them go through this fire. A fire of what? Trying to pour yourself out into someone that needs you, but the structure is all against you. Get in there. When you're trying to love somebody and it's just not working, they're not trying to do this for their own benefit. They're not trying, they're investing and spending their own money. There's no under thing, but that's the Spirit of God at work in a person. When I see that, it just does something in me. It triggers me to want to find out, God, what do you have for me? Who is it that lives next door to me? Who is it that I'm going to walk past in the lumber yard today that just needs an encouraging word, that needs a handshake and a recognition that, hey, we're humans together here. There's a reason why you're here. We're not just so much cells that randomly found their way together. We have a purpose and a plan because we've been designed and because we have a Heavenly Father. And I would just like to start at the beginning if we could, because in the book of John chapter 1, the Apostle John begins to just try to tell on paper his story of what it was like to be with Jesus for 3 years. Can you imagine trying to recap everything we said, what Jesus did? We read it through the Gospels, and it says, and I think John's the one that wrote it, that if everything he did was written down on paper, he says it near the end of what he's writing, if I wrote it all down, there's not enough space on the planet to fit all the books that could be written of what Jesus accomplished in just 3 years of ministry. And so he's trying to compress, trying to make this something that someone can read 2,000 years later, and it can still change their life. What do you say about Jesus? What do you include in the story? What do you leave out? But the reality is you got to start at the beginning. And I feel like this morning I'm speaking maybe to some people that you never went back to the beginning of all this. You never went back to the beginning of your faith and realized that God is the originator. He's the author and the finisher. A father is someone who has procreation power within himself. It's my birthday today, and my parents decided that, well, one of them, I'm not sure, it was more my dad's idea or not, but one of them had an idea that I should be here. Maybe they both just decided together, but however it is, I'm here. And guess how much I had to do with that decision? And we celebrate. I put a special jacket on today because it's my birthday, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's my birthday. I'm all excited about me, but I'm celebrating something I had nothing to do with. You had nothing to do with your birth. Nothing. When you became self-aware, you discovered what they had already named you. You didn't name yourself. You didn't decide what color eyes you were going to have or what kind of eyelashes you were going to have or what you were going to look like. That was all decided before you even had any understanding of existence. And yet somehow we can try to make it about ourselves. And I just would encourage us this morning in this spiritual sense, as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of the Lord, let's never think that this spiritual rebirth that we've been birthed into has more to do with us than we should be thinking it does. I don't know if I said that right. This was God's idea. He's a heavenly Father. He decided it would be a good idea for you to be here. He decided it would be a very good idea for you to be here, for you to come to faith in Him, for you to respond and to receive what He's prepared for your life. He has the one that initiated that. See, it says we've been born again. not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. Guess what? It's talking to the word. It's called sperma. That's the word seed that's used in the original text. It's the DNA of God has been placed inside your spirit. You are now alive by spirit because God's spirit has come and has taken up residence on the inside of you if you believe and if you've received the engrafted words, which is able to save your soul. If you haven't, you have no idea what I'm talking about. We can talk further about it. I love coffee. I love lunch. I'll sit with anybody and talk all day long about what it is that I'm trying to explain to you, because it's a spiritual thing. And we've been talking about spiritual stuff. It's spiritually discerned. The natural mind does not understand the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him, the Bible says. The things of the Spirit are only spiritually discerned. And here we sit, having responded to a spiritual call to be born again of the will of the Father. And let's just read through some of John chapter 1. And we'll just read it right straight through. He starts at the beginning, which I think is so important. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Not the beginning of when he met Jesus. He goes all the way back to the beginning, because the one thing he discovered about Jesus after 3 years together, this guy's responsible for the whole shebang. He didn't just show up, and he didn't originate 3 years ago when I met him. He originated me and the world and everything that's in it. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You got to start this walk of faith at the beginning. You got to understand it from the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not this John, John the Baptist. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Notice the goal of all of this that God has put into motion is that people would simply believe. There's nothing you have to do, you just have to believe. That through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's verses 1 through 14. You should reread those a few times, because I've read those over my life probably hundreds of times. And every time I read it, this reality of everything starting with God and ending with God is refreshed in my spirit. It's like refreshing your phone or your device. Every once in a while, you got to just turn it off and start it back up, and suddenly it works again. Sometimes you got to do that with your faith. You got to go back to the beginning and say, if this is God's idea, if I'm here because of the will of God, if he had a plan for me to be on earth right now, I've got to find out what it is. I have to look back to him. I can't just look from where I'm standing and expect to see forward. If I haven't looked back and seen this is his idea, this was something that was in his heart before time began. You know, that's a pretty big statement to say that I was in his heart before time began. But listen, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. Don't pat yourself on the back because you're sitting in one of these chairs. Don't feel better about yourself when you go home because you came to church, because you're not responsible for any betterment that you leave this room with. Man, religious works and trying and struggling, it just that upsets some people. There's only one reason you're accepted. That's because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's only one reason why your ears are open to the sound, why you're not so offended at what I'm saying that you've already left this room. The only reason you can possibly stand in the face of truth and light is because there's something in your heart that God has put there. A desire to know him, a desire to discover what your true purpose is. God gave you that. Think of all the places you could be right now. Some of you didn't even think about coming to church today. It was an afterthought, and you realized, well, I do have an extra hour, so maybe I'll just, all right, I still have time. I'll come anyway. Some of you, that's it's just a cat. You just happen to be here. But you're here. You're hearing truth. You're hearing that there was an origination in God's heart that desired for you to be on planet Earth right now. But it says, you've been saved through faith. The faith it took for you to believe, the grace you've been saved through faith, it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Why? Because we are His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would simply walk in them. Our decision is simply to walk in the works He's prepared or not. That's the part that you play. Yes or no. That's how much you have to do with it. You say yes or you say no. That's the extent of the highest level of faith you can exercise, is to say yes to what God has for your life. You can't practice your way into that. You can't study your way into that. You can't go to enough seminaries all over this planet and hear from the very most powerful speakers that there are. Yes is a decision that you make in your heart, and when you make it, you don't change your mind. And if you do that, your life will be completely transformed. Grace, you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Even the faith that it took for you to receive the grace that He offered, that was still a gift from God. It's humbling to stand before Him and realize, I am here because He loves me. We did not choose Him. It says we only love Him because He first loved us. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. This whole idea that we've said yes to Him, it's simply that. And you can also say no, and we live in a culture that for the most part, it's called post-Christian society. They've already tried Christianity and deemed it unfit to have any power to change and fulfill my life, and therefore, we all get to live in an era called post-Christian. Fools. People are fools because they have not invested what God has asked for. They have not said yes. Because when you say yes to the one who wrote the instruction manual for your life and puts you here in 2016 still breathing, I know how many times I should be dead. I shouldn't even have made it out of my teens. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's in your own thoughts as well. You should not be here, and yet here you sit. God loves you. And He gave His best for you. The Word became flesh. He came for you, and He came for me. And He's not going to change His mind, but you know what? He has an open hand. He says, guys, at any point, you can still decide that I'm not the one that you're in love with, and you can walk away. We live in a culture that does that day in and day out. Covenant, what is that? A marriage covenant, what is that? As soon as it doesn't work, as soon as it doesn't fit, as soon as it's uncomfortable, I'll try somewhere else. This isn't a dig at you if you've been through that pain. This is a recognition of the dark age that we live in. That what is not acceptable in God's eyes is somehow completely normal and completely fine in our culture. And if we don't stand up and begin to worship God in the face and to present a light into this generation, guess what? They're not going to see it anywhere else. They're looking for enlightenment. And Jesus is looking for enlightenment, I-N-lightenment, be in the light, as He is in the light, so we can have fellowship with one another. The one mark that this church has, and I thank God for, is that when people come here, they say, I genuinely feel like I was wanted there, like people wanted me to be there, like there was an open arm, like there wasn't like they were, I mean, we're tight on seats, but even still, we've maintained that desire. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit at work in the hearts of people who understand this message is not just for us, it's for the people that aren't here yet. For the ones that haven't said simple yes to the plan of God. Back to John 1. He was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through Him. The world did not know Him. Came to His own and His own did not receive Him. You know, my brother and I have done construction. We've designed some pretty cool stuff. Houses and additions and some historic stuff. And it's amazing, as humans, as soon as we do something amazing, we want everybody to know we did it, right? Look what I did. That's kids. Look what I did. Look what I did. Look what I did. We're so excited about what we did. That's okay. It's just humans. It's just part of how we're wired. Jesus came into the very world that He wrote the code for. He wrote this thing in genetic code. Every biological system that exists is described by genetic code using just 4 nucleotides. Man, He didn't even need 26 letters like we have in our alphabet to make a word. He wrote the way you look with 4 nucleotides in the sequences billions long so that you can have eyes that look like your parents did, so that your voice can sound like your mom's did. or your dad's dead. Good thing I said that. I was looking at a girl when I said that, so. Amazing how confused we've gotten as a culture, isn't it? We've forgotten where we came from. We forgot that there was a beginning. We forgot that there's a God that exists outside of everything that we know. And it's possible for Him to have a plan for our lives. Do you guys have that video queued up? I'm going to just want to see something. This is just 2 minutes long. It's just something I think is important if we're going to go back to the beginning of all this. You guys pretty much ready?
All right, your question, where did God come from, assumes that you're thinking of the wrong, obviously it displays that you're thinking of the wrong God, because the God of the Bible is not affected by time, space, or matter. If he's affected by time, space, or matter, he's not God. Time, space, and matter is what we call a continuum. All of them have to come into existence at the same instant, because if there were matter but no space, where would you put it? If there were matter and space but no time, when would you put it? You cannot have time, space, or matter independently. They have to come into existence simultaneously. The Bible answers that in 10 words. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heaven, there's space, and the earth, there's matter. So you have time, space, matter created, a trinity of trinities there. Just, you know, time is past, present, future. Space has length, width, height. Matter has solid, liquid, gas. You have a trinity of trinities created instantaneously, and the God who created them has to be outside of them. If he's limited by time, he's not God. The God who created this computer is not in the computer. He's not running around in there changing the numbers on the screen, okay? The God who created this universe is outside of the universe. He's above it, beyond it, in it, through it. He's unaffected by it. So for and the concept that a spiritual force cannot have any effect on a material body, well, then I guess you'd have to explain to me things like emotions and love and hatred and envy and jealousy and rationality. I mean, if your brain is just a random collection of chemicals that formed by chance over billions of years, how on earth can you trust your own reasoning processes and the thoughts that you think? Okay? So, your question, where did God come from, is assuming a limited God. And that's your problem. The God that I worship is not limited by time, space, or matter. If I could fit the infinite God in my 3-pound brain, he would not be worth worshiping, that's for certain. So that's the God that I worship. Thank you. Cool.
I just thought that was cool to see something in just a couple of minutes that just helps us recognize that there's a God who lives in and through the hearts of people that believe, and yet he exists completely on his own. He's completely self-sufficient. He's completely able to exist in his own capacity. Yet he chooses to come down and to find a way to redeem those who desire to be redeemed and to not lord it over or hold it over or any of those that do not want to respond to him. They're more than content to just go on and live without him. He's not forcing anybody's hand in this. But if you want light, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and in him was light. And Jesus said a very powerful thing in John 15. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. A lot of people have made judgments against God because, well, I've asked for things and I don't hear his voice. I've asked for him to talk to me and I don't hear anything. I asked for him to heal my sick child and they didn't get healed. I asked for him to bless me with a job that would provide for my family and we just lost our home. We're losing our car. We're in bankruptcy. I asked God for these things. It doesn't say that you can just ask these things and it happens. It says, if my words abide in you, and if you abide in me. He's full glory, light, everything pure is who he is. He cannot have darkness, can't be found in him. If you want to be in his presence, if you want to walk in the light as he's in the light, you have to say yes to him. You can't have the best of both worlds. You can't have a foot in and a foot out. You can't wonder why it's not working. Why am I unfulfilled? But you're still trying to do it your way, and you haven't even opened the menu. You haven't even opened the instruction manual to see what's available for you. What potential exists in your life because of who he has created you to be and because of what he's written in you. I did not know That it was possible for me to stand in front of a room twice on a Sunday morning with a couple hundred people in each one and to be able to declare the word of God, to declare truth, and to see people's hearts come alive, to see things inside them begin to start to make sense, to begin to see the light of life begin to glow in someone's eyes when they were depressed and broken and lonely and couldn't sleep and all these things. And I get to watch that week after week, and I get to see it, and then you get people that come in and they got to start from scratch again. And all I can say is you got to go back to the beginning. You cannot possibly embrace what God has for your life if you're not willing to give him the place of creatorship. It says in John 1 that those who receive him, he gives the right to become children. Right to become. Who gives God the right to give the right for you to become a child? Who gives him that right? It's because he's the one that created it. Therefore, the author has rights that nobody else has. If I go into the editing studio and I just decide that some, author just needs to have this chapter ripped out, I'll get arrested for that. I don't have any authority over his book. It's his book. He's writing it. Well, God has written a story and he's done it in such an amazing way. When he came to the people that he created, they couldn't even recognize he was the designer. The very intellect that they had, the ability to see him, the ability to process and make decisions about whether he was truthful or not, all of that stuff was stuff he had wired into them. He saw it in his mind and he made clay into a shape and he breathed in the breath of life, and the people that were in front of him were made by his hands, by his breath, by his idea, and they didn't even recognize him. And I go in and you do all this stuff and you can't wait to show the owner on a project you're working on. Look what we did and look what we did and look what we did. Imagine if they just looked at me like, who are you? Get out of my way. This is my house. I did this. And yet that's what people do with their lives. Jesus comes and he says, hey, look what I've prepared for you. Good works that I made for you to walk in before time began. They're all here, ready for you to step into. But we can't see him because we're going to Disney World or whatever it was, right? Imagine you guys said, you know what, that's really great. That's really interesting. We're going to go to Disney World and then we'll see what happens next year. We don't know. God could have still worked something out. He's God. But how different could it be? You guys have been through some stuff in the past 5 years of fire. It hasn't all been easy. You've maintained your hope, but this was something that kept you guys together, even if I dare say it. God didn't give you this vision as a ball and chain to make you unable to live a full life. He produced a full life in you through pursuing the vision that he put in your heart. And they know it. You can talk to them. They'll talk all day long to you if you have any questions about it. Because it's so burning in their heart, because they lived through what that felt like, to wonder, what's the point of all this? And if you can't find someone else out there to pour into, to let the light that Christ has trusted you with, to let it be expanded into their hearts, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're going to burn out. You're going to get jaded. You're going to be skeptical. You're going to be one of those people that just has it all figured out in your 3 pounds of gray. But in your spirit, you're still hollow, you're broken, and you're trying to find some kind of chemistry to help it all make sense. Revelations 19, it says this in verse 13. It says, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus. He was in the beginning. The creation that he breathed into existence, he then submitted himself to, took his life, left him with a robe covered in blood. Because he was the truth and they didn't like it. He was the creator and they didn't like it. Folks, we have a nation that was founded on a statement that begins something like this. I'll just read it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Where's that America gone? You can't even teach that. With a straight face in a public school, because it's not believed. No one believes there was a Creator anymore. We've outwitted him. We've found another way that we're here. We've created ourselves. And now that we can clone ourselves, we think we're pretty cool, and it's almost the same as creating. With what? The creative power he put in us, because we're made in his image. The most incredible successes that a man has ever accomplished is because God has put the ability in him to be able to do it. Our desire and our ability to believe in him and to follow him and to pursue him with a full heart of love and passion is only there because he has allowed us to have that desire in us. Every good and perfect thing has come down from the Father, who has the right to give rights. God did. And if he's given you a right to become a child of his, to be able to walk in the authority that he offers, because he's the author, he has authority. You understand that? Author, authority is just a little bit at the end. The author has authority. He has the right to say how this thing should go and how it will work. People are exhausted. They're burned out. They're unfulfilled because they think they're going to find something on their own. And some of us have to go longer than others before we realize, I need to find out what God has for my life. I need to be able to say yes. We have certain inalienable rights endowed by our Creator. When my kids come in with a command or whatever, pick up the room, pick up the living room, the very first question all the younger ones want to know, says who? Who says? All they got to do is say, Mom or Dad, or even some of the older ones, they have the authority to be able to, we've delegated that to them. God has given us amazing rights. The right to love one another, the right to forgive somebody who does wrong to us. The right to keep no record of wrongs. The right to turn the other cheek when someone has abused this cheek. And to be able to walk away and know that we look just like Jesus when they do that. The right to feel good and okay when everything around us is not okay. There are certain rights that he has given to us as his children that are so powerful, but people don't take them because they just don't see themselves as that person. I don't think I could ever do that. I don't think I should say yes to that because it's just outside of who I see myself to be. God has given us the right to love one another and to love our Heavenly Father and to worship him and to live for him. It's not a mandate. It's not a ball and chain to keep you from finding something that's really meaningful in life. It's a right that he has given to anyone who would believe and who will receive him. Folks, we stand at a crossroads in our culture, and my prayer is that people will go out and vote. And I pray that you'll vote for people who understand that we have a right to religious freedom, because I just read to you the very first phrase of the Declaration of Independence, the first document that flew in the face of the English when they were trying to establish another colony, was to say, there's some rights that no man can decide about. We will worship who we will worship. It's a right to decide. And that right will be changed. There's 3, maybe 4 Supreme Court justices on the line with this election. And so I hope people will get out and vote based on that alone. Please do not abstain from voting thinking you're doing anybody any favors. There's no such thing as an objectionable whatever. The Supreme Court of this nation hangs in the balance. Sanctity of life. There is a candidate that believes in the sanctity of life. Freedom of religion. That too. I'm not sure what other positive things I would be able to add to that, but those things are important. As a person who loves to worship God in the freedom of assembly, not every nation has this right to assembly. A lot of the rights that we have as Americans were rights that were drawn straight from Scripture, because that's how you discover that there was a Creator. It's from the Scripture. The Bible was part of the founding document of this nation. It's how we know that life is sacred and it begins in the womb. That's how we know that I need to be free. And my Muslim friends need to be free to worship. And my Jewish friends need to be free to worship. We need to be able to freely worship the God of our decision and of our choice. That will change. Very quickly, the wrong justices are on the Supreme Court. So I just would like to encourage you. There's a lot of different, you know, we're in New York State, so we may be limited. But I just think for my own conscience sake, I want to know that I've done all that I could to be able to say, I believe in the freedom of religion. I believe in the freedom of speech. I believe in the freedom of a person to be born. Let's just stand together this morning. Father, I pray this morning that we could all just find our individual purposes. Lord, for whatever it is that you want to do through our lives, we recognize and we acknowledge you as the creator, the initiator, the originator of them. God, whatever we've been confused about, whatever we've not understood, we pray for clarity this morning. We pray for you, Holy Spirit, to reveal in our hearts the next step for our lives, that we wouldn't just go through another week wondering, is there really any purpose? But we would trust you and seek you and desire to hear from you, that we would approach you from a place of humility. Lord, that we would not miss you when you come and when you stand before us, whether it's through a brother or a sister's kind words, whether it's through an opportunity. Lord, there's so many ways you speak to us. There's so many ways that you present the possibility for change to us. Lord, we just thank you that we would have eyes to see those opportunities and we would not miss them. We want to put you in your rightful position, Lord. You are the creator, you're the originator, the author and the finisher of my faith, Lord. And I pray that we could just relinquish that to you in this place, that we would be willing to just stand before you and say, God, I trust you with the rest of my story. We want to glorify you with our lives, Jesus. We want to see your name lifted up in this area, in this community, in this nation, Lord. And the darkness that's in front of us, Lord, we want to shine brighter than we ever have before. We want to lay down the things that keep us from you. Lay aside the cares that distract us. We want to see your glory shine in this valley, in this place, in this day. God, thank you for fresh encouragement to our spirits by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for stirring us up, Lord. Thank you for giving us the faith to dare to believe that you've made a grace available to us that saves us, delivers us, and sets us on a path that truly fulfills us in the deepest part of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.